is another trade war brewing. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Days after the U.S. and China lowered massive tariffs, easing their tension, President Trump is threatening new tariffs on European Union imports, 50% starting next month, posting on Truth Social they're difficult to deal with. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent tells Fox,
I'm not going to negotiate on TV, but I would hope that this would light a fire under the EU.
A French minister calls the new threat unhelpful, but still hopes to make a trade deal. That wasn't the only Trump tariff threat this morning.
The president is also warning Apple CEO Tim Cook that if iPhones sold in the U.S. are manufactured in India or anywhere besides the U.S., a 25% tariff will be paid by the company. Cook says he plans to shift iPhone manufacturing away from China as a result of high tariffs on that country.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. Reactions negative on Wall Street. The Dow's down 370 points. The Nasdaq dropping 221. Harvard is going to take the Trump administration to court again after the university already sued to unfreeze federal grant money. Fox's Molly Lyon reports from Cambridge, Massachusetts. The new lawsuit comes
just a day after the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, announced that the Trump administration is revoking Harvard's student visa program effective immediately. And the clock is now ticking on a 72-hour timeline that Noem gave Harvard to turn over a slew of documents to earn the opportunity to regain the certification needed to enroll international students, declaring it's a privilege, not a right. Noem accused this Ivy League institution in yesterday's letter of perpetuating an unsafe campus environment that is hostile to Jewish students.
A fifth round of U.S.-Iran nuclear talks are underway today. The U.S. is demanding Iran stop enriching uranium as President Trump threatens through talks or military action that he won't let Iran make nuclear weapons. Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Ahil Leiter, tells Fox,
if Iran has a nuclear bomb, they're going to use it.
America's listening to Fox News.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the 5 ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get this timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Call 800-893-2288. 800-893-2288. 800-893-2288.
Looking to stay informed on Yuma's business community? Tune in Wednesday, June 11th at 8 a.m. for the Chamber Chatter Show, hosted by Carrie Zaragoza, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Get the latest updates, business opportunities, and advocacy efforts that help our local businesses grow and thrive. Stay connected, stay informed, and support the community that supports you. The Chamber Chatter Show, Wednesday, June 11th at 8 a.m., brought to you by the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, your voice for business.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Danielle Burke North. The suspect involved in a hit-and-run death pled guilty to 2 counts in court. 45-year-old Alfredo Enriquez Flores pled guilty to manslaughter and leaving the scene of an accident resulting in death. He could face a maximum punishment of up to 21 years. Flores is accused of running over 21-year-old Estean Metal on New Year's Day. Flores will learn his sentence in court next month. And the city of Yuma, along with local students, unveiled a new project to beautify the area and welcome visitors. As part of the beautification project, the new Welcome to Yuma sign was placed at 32nd Street and Avenue 8.5E. This was possible in part thanks to the partnership with Arizona Western College welding students. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Danielle Burke North.
One more day at triple digits, at least for the next 4 or 5 days. We'll be a little bit under 100 today. Not as lucky, sunny in 104, 67 tonight, 99 and sunny tomorrow, 64 tomorrow night, 98 on Sunday, 99 and sunny on Monday.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Mortgage One in studio. Color commentary by Russ Clark, pushing the buttons. Good morning.
Is that what you call that?
Well, isn't that what all broadcasting was? There was the play-by-play and then the color commentator?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, you can be the play-by-play and I'll be the color commentator. Okay, you run the show and I'll ad-lib some color commentary. How about that?
Got it. I got nothing to say.
Well, that's kind of what I figured. Okay, so let's talk about a lot of things. Russ, simple question. Rates up or down?
They were down slightly for a while. I don't know if they're up or down now.
Oh, they're up. They're up.
They're up. Okay.
Okay.
They came
Tell
back.
Me, as a consumer of the media, is the stock market doing well the last couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Is almost every investment doing well over the last
couple
of weeks? Cool. If you see lots of money going into the investment market and those are going up, what happens to mortgage rates?
It's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good. They have to go up.
No.
And so it's a function of a bond is worth less. So the value of a bond is going down. So the interest rates to you and I as a consumer are going up because more money is flowing into the stock market. So you and I know, and we talked about this, that rates, we said about December of last year, we were going to hit near 8. Did we? We did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then...
For a short time.
For a very short time. And then they dropped, and a bunch of knuckleheads out there started, you know, doing the rain dance that, oh, my gosh, rates are coming down. It's a refinance. Boom, blah, blah, blah. And that lasted about 6 hours. You know, there's times that you can do refinance, but rates are back handily in the high sixes if you have pristine credit, 20% down, mid sevens if you're average, not bad, average. And there's loan programs out there that now start with an 8 if you're what you and I formerly would have called a subprime borrower. Then it became, you can't use subprime. Then it became Alt-A. And now can't use Alt-A anymore. So now it's just below the median credit profile. That's now what we call it. So
okay.
There's interest rates that are already starting with an 8. Do you believe interest rates are coming down anytime in the next year?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, I think we're still in a you know, Powell's going to hold on to where we are with the discount, and you know, even though Trump doesn't like it, I think in a year or so it could relieve itself, but nothing today.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, again, you and I don't have a perfectly crystal ball. It's a little opaque sometimes. However, if you see the stock market doing really well, then mortgage rates are not coming down, period, end of story. Yep. And it's amazing how many people that I see that are in their late 20s and early 30s that are firmly convinced they're going to wait until rates come back down into the threes and the fours.
Right.
Okay, let's never have that happen ever again, because in the history of mankind, it had never happened before until we had COVID. Let's not do that again. It literally took a shutdown of the economy, a tanking of the stock market, and governmental assistance for everybody to drop interest rates to 3%. Would you ever want that to happen again?
No.
Would you ever teach your daughter or your granddaughters or grandsons or, you know, great-grandchildren when that happens, would you ever teach them, wait to buy a home until we have another global pandemic?
No.
That's literally what they're waiting for.
No.
And so, again, that's the biggest question I get is, oh my gosh, I should wait till rates come back down because they're so high. I'm sorry. High sixes and mid sevens is the historical average. It's not even abnormally high. That's the norm. And you're old. What was your interest rate? You like that? Ah, if anybody could have seen his face right now on air, that was priceless.
I
what were rates back in the early 80s when you bought a home?
Oh, probably 10-15%. If they were
double digits in the teens,
yeah,
and that was stressful for people to get in. But we never, as an industry, you never could qualify people more than about a third of their income for the house, and about half of their income for all other debts combined along with the house. Right.
Right.
where are we today? The payments may look higher, but it's still no different than about a third of somebody's income for the house and about 50% of their income for all other debts, including the house combined. Right. So we're still using the same amount of income, and that's kind of what inflation does. As things go up in price, typically people make more. I'm pretty sure that what's the – and again, it's not about the minimum wage. What's minimum wage, though, now compared to what it was in the early 80s?
Federally, it's like, $7, $7.50 in the early 80s, maybe around $1.50, $2.
Okay, so your minimum wages have gone up 5 times?
Probably.
And the home prices have gone up like 3.5, 4 times in that same area. So again, we're not using any more or any less. It's not more affordable. It's not less. It's just the same percentages. And that's the problem, is trying to get some of these younger people to realize, hey, it really isn't a bad time to buy a home. And I'm sorry, if you're going to live somewhere with a roof over your head, you're either going to pay a mortgage because it's going to be your own, or you're going to pay somebody else's mortgage because you're going to rent it.
Right.
And is, in your opinion, as the color commentator, have you seen, you like that?
I got like a title.
Have you seen rents significantly cheaper than owning a home?
Oh my God, no. Okay. And in fact, rents, it's like we had not enough units out there. So market demand drives the price up, and it did. It got driven up.
Okay, second question. Have you personally seen an oversupply of housing at all?
Not here.
No. Not here. Okay. So those two things lead me to everything that you're validating is, we know rates are not coming down anytime soon, not unless there's something globally that we don't know about. There's not an oversupply of homes. There's not a bunch of homes being dumped on the market. Now, are there lots of apartment complexes being built here in Yuma?
Amazingly. I mean, lots of units, hundreds of units being built.
It's going to be more than 1,000.
Oh, is it more than 1,000?
Okay. So at my best count right now, I'm seeing about 1,200 units going in around the community, both Foothills, Valley, out towards South County.
Right.
So let's just pretend 1,000 to 1,200 units come online in the next 12 to 18 months. Will that disrupt the rental market for apartments?
I don't think so completely. I think there's such a shortage. It may stabilize it.
Might stabilize it. You might have people moving from an older complex to a newer one with slightly better amenities, et cetera. But the person who's going to go rent a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom apartment is not the same person who's renting a three- or four-bedroom house for their family.
No.
So even the apartments, and I have people asking that, oh, my gosh, there's apartments going in everywhere. Maybe I shouldn't buy a home. Why? That has no bearing.
Really said that?
Yes. And that's what I say. Some of these conversations are, gang, I need your help, and other people need your help to get the better information out there. That, and again, if your personal beliefs are the housing market is going to have issues or the rates are going to drop like a rock tomorrow, call me and let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at, and again, Russ, how many grandkids do you have?
Six.
Okay. Do you want them all to buy a home sometime in their early 20s and start building equity and build a stable foundation and play the game early?
Of course.
But why do other family members try to talk people out of buying a home?
Because they've had a bad experience or lack of understanding.
Hmm. So a personal problem could colorize what you're doing to help your family or friends and coworkers, et cetera. That's right. Where you see a lot of it. You know, your cousin, uncle, Earl, Vinny, whatever, had this happen. But a lot of the stories that I hear the family members talk about was, oh, well, they did one of those 80-20 loans back in the day, and they did no money down in it. That's called a subprime loan. Mm-hmm. You know, and you didn't really prove your income, and you did one of those no income, no asset, no employment loans. Literally, could you fog a mirror? Do you have a pulse? You got the loan. Do you know those are still out in the marketplace minutely?
No.
There are no income, no asset loans. Okay. Now, would that scare you if you can't prove your income or assets?
Yeah. I think most people should run from that stuff.
Now, let's pretend you're a self-employed businessman, like you are. Do you actively write off all of your income as much as you can so the business pays legally and compliantly the least amount of taxes possible?
Not only that, if I look like I'm doing better, I'll buy more stuff because it's an opportunity to put that to work, that cash to work, and reduce my taxes.
Which is what you should. So if your taxes don't show that you have the revenue to purchase a home, are there other viable, provable products out there? Yes, we have. Yeah. There's cash flow analysis. Sure. There's asset depletion analysis. There's other things you can do beyond these, what the industry called NINAs, no income, no asset.
NINAs.
The best one was the NINA NA, no income, no asset, no employment. Literally, if you had a credit score that started with a 7 and put a bunch of money down, you got a loan. Okay, no, those are not prevalent. They are in the market, but that's not what the market is based on right now. But it's amazing how the last two people who have asked me this question, when I asked the family members, you know, what did you guys get hurt on? One of them was an 80-20 subprime loan, and one of them was they didn't have any of the qualifications, so they didn't have to prove anything other than they had a good credit score. Well, that might be why you had an issue, that maybe you got into a home beyond what your actual cash flow could support. You know, it's no different than how many people do you see drive a car into your shop that they could barely afford the car?
Too many.
But they didn't plan on affording the maintenance.
Too many. I mean, I have people buy a car and bring it in because they don't like the way it steers or it's doing something funny, and it's going to cost more in repairs than they can afford, and they just bought it.
What was the emotional trigger that made them buy that?
Pretty, nice color, leather seats.
So, unfortunately, here's what those last two younger people, their family members who bought the bigger, prettier than they should have, is now colorizing their decisions on you shouldn't buy a home because it's going to hurt you.
Right.
How is it going to hurt you when interest rates are normal and you're going to qualify? And we, at least us and our side at Mortgage One, we talk budgeting and is this affordable, and let's not put you in a position to fail. But sometimes life happens anyway. But should your income go up over time? In theory,
generally, yeah, it increases over time historically, just like inflation.
Okay, so put a pin in that. You and I agree, income typically goes up over time. Mm-hmm. Does rental amounts typically go up over time?
Correct.
Okay, so let me understand this. The family member wants you to not buy a home to take a 30-year fixed payment, so your housing cost is not going to go up, subject to your taxes and insurance, obviously. But your house payment is not going to go up. So over time, that payment gets cheaper for you as you make more money.
Yeah.
But they want you to rent, every year it goes up.
Here's your problem.
Unlogical.
Correct.
It's tactical.
And this the arguments are more emotional. And if you start talking about it, they don't want to talk because they don't want to think that their emotional decisions are improper. So they'll walk away from the conversation.
Well, that's dumb. Maybe we should get emotional. That's stupid.
See, you became James Carville.
Yeah, I was. It's funny. I was just going to drop that name. Okay. And that's what, you know, what's the old, you know, story? Each one teach one. Gang, if you're listening out there, help influence some of the younger people, because this is such an easy game if you understand it early. Let's just play Monopoly. You buy your first home as early as you can, safely and securely, and then every 3 to 5 years as you're turning the corner on that Monopoly board, I know, Russ Clark, you know what a square is. How many sides on a Monopoly board?
I don't know, 12.
Yeah, exactly. That's what a square is. Okay, so 4 sides on the board. Every 3 to 5 years as you make that corner up to the slightly more expensive properties, you know, everybody wants to live in Boardwalk and Park Place. Everybody wants those on the board. Mm-hmm. But if you were, let's say, 25 and you bought your first home, and age 30 you turn the corner and turn the old one into a rental because your income has gone up, but that payment has stayed the same and rents have gone up, now the likelihood is 5 years later you can rent the home out for more than your mortgage. Safely. Not
you're getting good cash flow. It's going to cover more than just expenses.
Cool. Now 3 to 5 years later you make another corner again, you're past free parking, and you're coming down the red and the yellow properties, and you turn the second one into a rental. By then, both of the first two are cash flowing. 3 to 5 years later, you make another turn, and over a 15 to 20-year run, you own four houses.
As long as you don't get divorced and your wife forces you to sell everything and your legal fees are over $100,000.
That sounds really emotional right now. is that a James Carville comment?
No.
Russ,
no.
James Carville Clark, good Lord.
I mean, keep everything in order, man.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying is you have family members that are scared to do X. Now, let's pretend Adrian and Tom and George are here talking financial stuff. How many people could say, oh my gosh, I had money in stocks and I lost it all. And so you're going to talk your family member out of funding a 401k or an IRA. Wait a minute. If the S&P 500 averages 11% over its lifetime, right? Averages. Yes, there's going to be some ups and downs.
Oh, first times it's lost money.
Housing.
And let it ride and it'll be back.
So again, I go back to where does some of this, as a country, if we use the word misinformation a lot, and I don't necessarily like that, but what's the misinformation to people of don't buy a home, it's safer to rent? Really? It's safer to rent? Now, it might give you no ties to a specific spot.
I think there's times that you don't buy a home, but every situation needs to be looked at. Like, if you know I'm in college and as soon as I get out, I'm moving to Oklahoma.
Is that where the wind comes sweeping down the plane?
Well, it's just a place I don't know.
Okay.
And you're not, it's not a good time to buy a house and then to resell it in a year. You know, that might be the case.
So it's not a short-term gain?
Generally.
Okay.
I mean, if you really knew how to play the game, maybe, but I doubt it.
But you're 100% right. There's situations that say no. And obviously, no job, don't do it. Obviously, if you're looking at moving very quickly, no.
Live with your mom as long as you can.
But at the same time, if you say, you know what, I love Yuma, and this is where I'm going to be for a while, and my job is consistent.
You're building a presence, you're building a family, you're going to be here for a number of years. Of course, it's the right thing. You're going to be spending the money. On rental and buying someone else's, them buying someone else's mortgage for them, or you're going to be buying your own, one way or the other. But the emotional thing is hard to overcome when you start getting family members that have made bad choices and not done well, or they know a friend that didn't do well, or something because they did something improper, or didn't have insurance, and the place flooded. I don't know, and but that's why you do a lot of research, talk to a lot of folks, and overcome pitfalls. Overcome, bad decisions, make sure. And then listen, because I do the automotive shop during the day, we offer people advice. I said, look, before you buy a used car, bring it in. Let us take a look at it and just verify.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we give advice like, that's a very expensive car to fix. If any little thing breaks on that, I can't do that. It's got a steering problem right now. I wouldn't buy that. They show up a week later and say, well, I went ahead and bought it, so could you fix So well, the advice doesn't
going to cost you.
I mean, if you've already made your mind up, don't even ask advice.
Well, go now they're asking for validation.
Go ahead and make mistakes. Yeah. Live with them. But I think if so much advice is available, it's going to put you on the right track and save you heartache and trouble and problems, giving you realistic estimates on what, because they're going to share life experience in their profession on what they see that is going to benefit you in huge ways and cost you nothing.
You know what I love about our side, and again, sitting here, we don't need to do one more loan to keep the company up and running.
Yeah.
It's not about trying to hard sell one more of anything.
No, you're on a mission.
Having a good conversation. I mean, again, it's amazing how much time Rosa Castillo, Bill Kraft, myself spend with people in the office having conversations. And again, Bill, very intelligent guy, with money. Rosa,
Bill's intelligent?
Yeah.
Well, that's Rosa, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. Rosa, very intelligent with buying homes and money. And it's just that, hey, let's have good conversations to help people get to where we are. And it doesn't matter, but it's also telling people the truth where it's amazing how many people come in and go, hey, Derek, look, I got this interest rate from this other lender. Can you beat this? And you look at it and you go, well, I don't know that you want me to be that the way they're portraying it, But I had a guy yesterday. Well, Derek, they're going to give me 4.99. No, they're not giving it to you. Look at the cost over here. Now, some people are fully, they only look at the interest rate, right? Some people only look at cash to close. And typically, people don't look at both of them at the same time. You're either payment or rate sensitive or you're cash sensitive. This person, were they getting a loan estimate with a 4.99 on it? Absolutely. Were they paying all of the discount points to get that rate? Now, they didn't get given a rate. They were being sold a rate based on lots of discount points.
And they really didn't pay attention to that part. And they probably were told, but it was a blur because you're told so much.
And that's where having good conversations like you're talking about with Carr. Look, if you have a question, you can come in, talk to me, Rosa Bill. But at the same time, it's, look, I love financially educating people on buying a home. And I do believe now is a very good time to buy a home because, Russ, in the next year or two, do you believe interest rates may come down?
Yes. I think things are in place that makes that a stronger potential.
Okay. Here's the tactical, non-emotional fact of when interest rates drop. You don't take my word for it. Go right out, Google this. Go ask the National Association of Realtors. Go ask the Mortgage Bankers Association. When interest rates drop 1%, home prices typically go up 10% because you have more people coming into the market. If interest rates dropped 2%, guess what happens to home prices?
They
go up 22%.
They do?
So if you're waiting for rates to drop, are you not forcing that you're going to have to pay more for the house? Yeah. And if you looked at Russ Clark's face right now, the shock and awe just set in.
To put that together.
But that's what happens is, like right now, how many people, if you told me, pick an auto company, name me an auto.
Ford.
Okay. If Ford put every car on the lot 0% interest for 72 months, how many people would go buy a new car right now?
A lot.
Oh, so as the interest rate drops, more buyers go into the marketplace. Now, if there was only one bougie red Ford Mustang GT500 in that dealership and interest rates were 0% on that,
yeah,
and six of us walked in, could they sell it above MSRP?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You just nailed exactly what happens with real estate, and people don't get that. How many dealerships do you see? And, again, the ones here actually are genuine that I don't see them overpricing MSRP. But how many dealerships have you seen? You see that bougie car, whatever it is, and it's $20,000 over MSRP because the demand is so high that they can take that $20,000.
Happens occasionally. I don't look at those. I don't buy them.
You didn't pay $20,000 over MSRP for your car out in the parking lot?
No.
How about your e-bike?
No.
All right. Well, again, we've got a ton of stuff that we're going to talk about, and this is what I would love to ask for everybody's help with. We need to push the financial education, especially with real estate, especially with credit, because there is misinformation out there. And unfortunately, people are making emotional decisions, not tactical budgetary decisions.
Regularly. I think that is part of the human experience, making emotional decisions. I mean, there's a lot of things we got in our house we can look at and say, yeah, I bought that when I was at the fair and it looked great. You know,
right. So, and emotionally, now you're going to tell me we have to take another break because we have to pay for this show.
I hate to pick on your emotions. You seem so wrung out. But
I know. So this is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 1808.99 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626. Good morning, Yuma. It is 8:31 on a gorgeous Friday, although it's going to be a little toasty this weekend, so get ready. Here we go.
All right. Yeah, it's Memorial Day on Monday, too. You going to be closed?
We'll be closed, but I'll probably be in there.
We'll be closed, but I'll be in there, yeah.
Well, I get more done when nobody's there.
Yeah, kick them all out.
And, you know, they deserve some days off, but okay, I have two appointments.
On Monday?
Uh-huh.
I'll come by and disturb you just so you don't get anything done.
Hey, that's fine. I'll put you to work cleaning, sweeping, mopping, etc.
Good luck with that.
I know, because you don't sweep or mop. Okay, so we're talking about some stuff both on air, off air, and some of these emotional decisions, are they covering up for lack of education? Are they covering up for an emotional need? Why do you see people make sometimes bad financial decisions?
All reasons, but I think a lot of them don't understand. I think it's a lack of understanding a lot of times, and they may understand what happened to one person or themselves in a certain situation at a certain time in history, and said, "No, it's bad because it happened to my uncle and he lost everything."
So if I wipe the slate for a minute, and it really is just hopscotch. It's just numerical. 1 + 1 = 2. And there's no judgment. And that's what I like. Whether you like how I say it or Bill says it or Rosa says it, there's three very qualified people to sit down and have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stop and look at, okay, there's no judgment, but it really is, hey, here's rule number one. Are you saving minimum 10% of your income? And I literally had that conversation with Ethan, my middle son, this morning.
Most people don't.
No. And I told him, as he's gotten a promotion at work, he's doing well, he just bought a new car, used car. That's kind of one of my other rules, buy a used car, not new. But are you saving 10% of your money into your savings account and then going and spending the rest on this car and these other things? And he goes, Dad, I thought you always told me it was 20%. Well, I did, but I know you're not saving 20%, and I want to make sure you're at least at the 10%. He goes, yeah, I'm still at the 10% that we agreed on last year. Cool. Now, as you got this promotion, you're going to buy a new car, please go from 10 to something new. Go to 12, go to 14. I don't care what it is, but don't do the minimum 10. So he and the boys have learned, put this much money away first. And if you could save 10% of your paycheck from age 20 on, do you know how much money you would have at retirement?
More than I have.
Millions.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't even have to make much more than minimum wage if you could save 10% of your money.
Amazing number of millionaires that never made more than $50,000 a year.
No. Yeah. But they were diligent savers, and they lived beneath their means.
And investors. And sometimes investment doesn't have to be just stocks or bonds. Investment can be in other collectibles and other items that become hobbies, actually.
And again, all of, I mean, for crying out loud, have you seen the what Pokemon trading cards are doing right now?
I'm afraid to look.
I mean, and again, I'm not saying, hey, everybody go do that. I'm just saying there's, I didn't realize how big of a deal that is, that there's people who are literally buying and building sets of Pokemon cards and turning it into a collectible. If
coins, stamps, and then
whatever
and then
it is,
other hobbies where people buy equipment and wood making equipment to make things and sell them. I don't care. There's things to do.
Doesn't matter what it is, but again, tactically, rule number one: save money first, pay yourself first, then do everything else second. Mm-hmm. So for Ethan, hey dude, are you saving not 10 but pick another number? So he actually agreed to go 13%. Cool, put 13% in your savings. And I don't care what you do with anything else. Spend every other dollar. I don't care. Save that 13%. When you get another raise, take more of that, put it over here, and still spend more money, but just keep ratcheting up the savings and start building down payment for a house by the time you're 25. You know, and you're doing really, really well. Save 10 or 20% first. Now, rule number two, do you have 6 months worth of savings in the bank?
Yeah.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Were there times in your life that you didn't?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, again, no judging. Have there been times in my life that I did not save 10%?
Of course.
Yeah. Has there been times in my life that I had like $2 left in the account? Yeah, we all have. So don't look at where somebody is now and go, oh, my gosh, that guy's never understood what's going on. No, most of the time that people have something set up well is because they're a product of bad decisions previously and they learned the hard way. Because clearly you and I are dense enough that we don't learn the easy way.
I had grandparents that lived during the Depression and they always had different viewpoints on what to do versus somebody that, you know,
silver
lived
coins
in
a Folgers coffee can
buried in the backyard. I've been digging in Grandpa's yard for a while. I haven't found it.
You know, all you do is a metal detector. It's very simple. You've seen what's the show, The Curse of Oak Island? Just be Gary Drayton out there with the metal detector and you'll find it. But again, that was the mentality of, oh my gosh, this happened, so we need to do X, whatever X is, to protect against it. But saving 10%, having 6 months worth of bills saved so you don't have a emotional, oh my gosh, then if you bought a home that's 3 to 5 times your annual income. Now, how many people don't own a home that's 3 to 5 times their annual income?
Oh, many more.
Cool. So if you were making, let's say husband and wife, let's say they're both making 50 grand a year, that's $100,000. Most of the time, they're going to be looking at 250 to 300. Cool, that's just up to 3 times their income. Most people can go 3 to 5. If you said, hey, a couple of years later, now you're not making 50, you're making 60 grand a piece. Okay, that's 120 a year. Let's go 4 times your income. You could buy something 450 to 480. Turn the old one into a rental, and you're moving on up just like George Jefferson moving on up to the
assuming site. You didn't run up your credit cards and then have tons of toys you bought on payments.
Well, now that's part of rule number three. After it's 3 to 5 times your income, no consumer debt. Why do you need to pay 29? And again, Ethan had a couple things on his credit card, and we talked about that. Okay, you need to pay this off. He goes, oh, Dad, don't worry about it. I'll have it paid off with this paycheck. Okay, you're not going to earn interest or pay interest. That's cool. Just wanted to make sure he had made enough that month to pay off his credit card. But his credit card's at 29%. Dude, you do not need to pay 29% interest because you're out buying more than you needed this month. And he did it the right way. He's not paying interest. But it's amazing how many people leave this riding at 29% interest, but still go out to eat, go out to coffee, go out to movies, go out to entertainment. And I don't care that you go do those.
No.
Pay cash. Don't pay 30% interest on it. I don't want to go buy, you know, if you took you, Helen, your daughter, husband, all the kids out to dinner, what would you spend? I know you're cheap, but if you picked it
McDonald's?
Up.
No, it's going to be $20, $30 a plate, you know.
Okay, so let's pretend you took them to Texas Roadhouse. What would you spend?
For 10 of us, let's just say 10, that's at least 250.
Okay.
Plus tip, 300 maybe.
So let's say 300, but now you let that ride for a year on your credit card at 30% interest. Now you're not paying 300, that dinner's 390.
Yeah.
I don't care that you went out to a $300 dinner. Cool, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Pay cash. Be done. don't have to pay 30% interest. So that's part of rule number three. Rule number four is, are you fully funding your 401k, your IRA, whatever retirement account
you have? Especially if you got matching. Don't give that up. That's kind of free money.
And that's the other thing that I see. One of the two young people we talked about in the first segment, they're not even putting money into their 401k. And their company offers a dollar-for-dollar match up to 6% of their salary. But, dude, you're missing 100% return on your investment. I can't get 100% return on my investment in the stock market. You're missing a 100% return on your investment. Even if you only put $100 a month in there, that's $1,200 a year. You made an extra $1,200 a year. It's $2,400 you'd have at the end of the year for $100 a month. Yep. Why are you not doing that? And, oh, by the way, then rule number four, when you finish that, you should complete the cycle, kind of like a Monopoly board, and you go back to step number one and you ratchet those things up again. It's just that tactical. And that's what I'm trying to teach my boys is, guys, you could have such a head start, not because you're going to get given a ton of money. Here's the education you need to know. Here's how you buy your cars. Here's when you buy your homes. Here's what you do with your savings. And just be boring and consistent. Just be that guy that nobody knows what's going on and just save and invest and just quietly put something together and know that at age 20, like Ethan's 20, Evan's 21, I look and think, my gosh, if I had started back then and I just had somebody pushing just a little bit.
Did you do college funds for him and stuff?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing it for the grandkids. I did it for my kids.
Yeah, but we did the 529 plans, yeah. And thankfully.
Do they know about it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't a whole heck of a lot.
Then I would just say, look, I don't need to. You're doing it for me.
No. Yeah. And truthfully, again, it wasn't a whole heck of a lot, but Evan decided to do a trade school. And, you know, I think I told you, he's now 2-year program, ASC certified. He's loving being a mechanic.
He likes it.
He loves it. He wants to, as he says, Dad, I want to learn real estate and stuff from you, and I want to be rich. I'm like, well, you think I'm rich. I'm not rich. But you have a career that is going to give you safety and security, and now you can build on it. He would love to go work for Mercedes or BMW or Porsche and build up into
the big boys. Yeah.
And just save money and invest. And he's already talking about now that he's finished that.
Just get him to work on your cars.
He's in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Bring him home for...
That's a long drive.
Well, bring him home for Christmas break and then give him a wrench.
Right. But again, what he is now talking about, and I fully support it, we're going to go look at duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes. He could buy let's pretend he found a good duplex. Move into one side as the owner-occupied, rent the other side out. After a year, he could go buy another owner-occupied, you know, live there a year or two, establish yourself. When your income has gone up a little bit, now you go buy a home, and you have a duplex that you've got two rental units. And by the time he's 25, he could be living in a home, have a duplex or a triplex that's his first rental, and he could own four doors. You and I didn't have four doors when we were 25.
No.
We were too stupid just going out at night and didn't know what we didn't even know.
No.
So have you gotten over that stage yet?
No.
Okay, just making sure. So again, that tacticalness is, hey, Evan, are you saving 10%? Yes, Dad, I got it. It's actually 15% for him. Cool. You're saving money because your bills are very low. Let's get you into this. And you just move up the Monopoly board slowly over time. And that he's not looking at, oh, Dad, I can afford a $400,000. He can't afford a $400,000 home. But he's not trying to go, you know, to the absolute max. He wants to make a good decision that after 12 to 24 months, he's moved out of it into the next one. And it's just a stepping stone. Dude, that's the best thing ever. I don't need to go buy that $200,000 amazing shiny car or boat. I need to go buy something that gets me around and we're fine.
Yeah.
So those tactical things is what I really would like to ask everybody's help with is, you know, I've got my rules written down, happy to give a copy of any of them, happy to sit down with young people or other family members and teach this stuff too. Not unlike what just happened 2 weeks ago. I had a family of eight in the conference room with me. It was husband and wife and their two kids running all over the place. Mom and dad were in there because they're going to do some creative stuff, but an aunt and an uncle were in there too. Okay, cool. eight people in conference room, and we're having this discussion with really six adults and two kids that were really obnoxious and probably not unlike Russ Clark.
Wonderful.
But educating them at the same time. And we were there for about 2 hours on a Saturday. Love doing that, because if six people now understand this better and know that these young people are going to get taken care of and they can be way better off than mom and dad or aunt and uncle are, shouldn't that be okay?
Of course.
And that's the other emotional thing I see. Every once in a while, you see there's a family member who really doesn't want to see that person get ahead the right way.
Oh.
Why is that?
I don't know, but it exists. It exists.
And is that...
It's competitive, maybe. I don't know.
Because it's... They're going to make them feel bad that they didn't get there, or jealousy.
Maybe they don't respect success. I don't, you know... So many people now look at the guy on the hill that has a big house and think they're evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try to protect you from that, son. Make bad decisions and you'll never make that.
Yeah. So again, you look at all of this stuff. Hey, guys. Hey, gals. Mortgage rates are not coming down anytime soon. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, again, you just got to pay the piper a little bit. You save 10%, you save 15%, you budget, you save and pay yourself first. Are you telling me we have to pay for the station again?
Correct.
Why?
We got these.
Here we go.
Clients.
See, we got to pay for something. All right. Well, this is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. We'll be back after these messages.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, it is 847. It's going to be, I think we're going to touch triple digits again.
Yeah, today. It's like 104.
So, you know, again, here, we're talking all kinds of things. Would you rather do preventative maintenance on your air conditioner, or would you rather wait till it breaks midsummer?
Silly question, but yes, we're going.
But that's, okay, house or car. Are there things that people should do to their car AC, or do you just assume it's okay and...
AC is, assume it's okay. If it's blowing cold and it's good, it's okay. If it starts getting to where it just doesn't seem right, bring it in.
Okay. So
you know, don't let it run out of anything.
Could it be clogged radiators and
yep.
stuff up front?
Yep.
So there
can't be low on Freon. It could be.
But there are things that, you know, if you've got a 10-year-old car and you've been driving through the desert all the time and your radiator's clogged with bugs and all of the cooling
areas. You're going to be overheating everything.
Yeah. Okay. So there are things that we should pay attention to, not
sure.
just does the car start.
Red lights on your dash start coming on, you know how to bring that in.
Well, I've always been told if they're solid, they're not blinking. It's more of a cautionary, not an immediate.
Kind of.
But, you know, again, that's that same thing. Hey, guys, it's coming up on summer. Simply changing your air filters every 30 days is going to save you money on your electric bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having somebody come out annually to service the AC to clean all the coils.
That's all they do.
And make sure that, you know, the coils, whether you got one or two, clean the coils, make sure the cooling is the best it can be. Mm-hmm. Great. Oh, make sure the drip tray and the overflow lines are unplugged, because
They get mold in them.
They get mold in them, and once we start hitting that, you know, you start seeing those drips coming out, and typically when you see the drip outside your window, that means the internal one's already plugged.
And that's going to cause property damage because it'll overflow.
So spending a couple of bucks will save you money in the long run. But again, it's amazing how many homes, and I go into rentals, the AC filters are absolutely plugged like they haven't been changed in 6 months. Do you like spending more money in electricity? I don't get that. Same thing with you in a car. What's the number one thing coming up on summer that you suggest people do?
Yeah, if your air conditioner isn't working, get it checked. But air conditioner is going to be number one. I mean, get that done. But on any car, regular oil changes. Look, it saves you an amazing amount just to change that oil regularly in filters. That's basic. Red lights come on, go by and check it out. It doesn't cost you anything to have us look at it and tell you it's something to worry about or it's something it's okay. You know, sometimes Chris will say, don't drive this car.
And listen to them. And again, you know, there. When I deal with you guys, there is no, well, I don't know if I believe them. I don't know if this is.
We don't care. And second chance, you know, you get second opinions are great. I don't mind at all. In fact, we get people in for second opinion.
So again, going back down the road of housing, okay, let's make good decisions. Do you emotionally buy the home the second you look at it, or and sometimes you got to jump because the market is what the market is.
Yeah.
But do you drive back through the neighborhood at dusk and see what the neighborhood looks like? I have. You know, what are the neighbors out there? Are there kids playing? Mm-hmm. Does it feel like it's a, you know, what you want, whatever that is? Do you drive by early in the morning as people are going to work, whatever that feels like? You know, and then start looking at how does that home fit your school needs or your shopping, your grocery.
A good realtor is going to point a lot of that out and have a list for you anyway. But it's always nice to look, you know, and even ask a neighbor or something, or a potential neighbor, if you see him outside, say, hey, I'm thinking about moving in this neighborhood. What's the pitfall? What's the bad things I need to look out for?
And they would turn around and go, you.
Maybe. Or it could be that the train comes by every night at 1 o'clock, so don't be a light sleeper.
And there's neighborhoods like that here in town that just pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you simply look at, is this fit my lifestyle? Can I afford the maintenance? When we say save 10%, the save 10% isn't so you budget the maintenance. The save 10% is before anything else happens. Then you pay your bills, but part of bills is maintenance. So if I had any car on the planet, what do you want me to budget for monthly? How much should I stash
It depends on the car. Some cars are just friendly budget-wise. Other cars, and you got a nameplate car, high performance, BMW, Audis, all those kind of things. Jeez, a lot.
Okay, let's pretend you're going to do a high-end oil change. What's a high-end oil change?
It could be over $100.
Okay. So does that mean I need to budget that every 3 months?
At least every six, maybe.
Okay.
A lot of these cars are just great, wonderful machines. Just know you can afford it. Don't buy it on a shoestring thinking I can barely get in because you need a mechanic with it.
Oil changes, tires,
cabin
air filter, air filters, things like that. So there are things that you really are going to pay annually. You just don't really pay attention.
And some of these high-performance tires, people don't realize, they're very soft. And if you get 10, 15,000 miles off some of these tires, you're in good shape.
You're 100% right. Now, so here's a budget thing. You go to a house. How often do you change a light bulb in your house?
Now, not so much with the LEDs, but...
Not so much, but the cost of an LED is 10 times more or 20 times more than
an incandescent. It's become a little more reasonable, but yeah, it's still more.
So you're going to change light bulbs routinely. You're going to have a sprinkler head to be fixed routinely. You're going to have AC filters.
Oh, something's going to come off the track. Something's going to break. I'm going to trip and fall into a wall and break a hole in it.
Yeah.
You know,
and it could literally be anything else. It could be, you know what, it's a 20-year-old home and I need to change some of the breakers.
Hot water tank breaks, the washer, the dryer. You know, garbage disposal clogs.
So guess what there should be on your budget, my budget, my kids' budget?
Annual budget for repairs.
Repairs and maintenance.
Air conditioner's $10,000, man.
Do you have a repair and maintenance account at your office?
No.
you guys do repairs and maintenance on your equipment, right?
Yep, we do it ourselves.
No, I know, but yeah. When you say repairs, and you talked about huge new lifts and other things you're bringing in?
We're in good shape for it. I mean, we always have cash on hand to handle that. We don't get our cash reserves down to the point where we can't afford those things. And
so you have a cash account that mm-hmm. is your reserves that is probably 6 months worth of bills, like we talk about a homeowner.
Oh, yeah, at least. Yeah. I mean, we have enough cash flow, enough to take care of it on the fly. We don't, we're not a big demand, and it's no problem for us. We can handle it.
So non-emotional,
mm-mm.
tactical.
Mm-mm. Not, if it's broke, fix it.
Not calling anybody names.
Particularly safety issues, you know.
And that's where, going back to where we started, I understand that the family members who are saying, don't buy a home, wait for interest rates to come down, they're really trying to say, be safe, don't get hurt. But sometimes the advice they're giving them is the absolute wrong thing, and it's hurting them. You want them to stay in a rental for 20 years, you're forcing them to pay higher rent every year as rents go up. They're never going to have any equity in their own name.
For me, good advice would be, go talk to this professional who does it every year for 20 years. Let me go with you. I'm curious what he says. That's it.
Bring him. Yeah. And you have. You've brought a couple of young people in, and we've had some good conversations.
Sure.
And did that person finance or buy with us immediately?
No.
No. Doesn't matter. Have a good conversation. And again, I cannot speak highly enough about Bill and Rosa and the rest of the team, because it's not just me and it's not just a talking point on air. Everybody in the office is willing to sit down and spend hours with people and talk about them. I've seen Annabelle, I've seen Darren, I've seen Denise sit down and do budgets with people, which makes me super happy because they're now doing the same budget conversations that I did with them.
But it's going to be part of that corporate culture, and every corporation, every business has its own culture. They start developing and all that. So, I mean, you've driven it, and you got people around you that are going to emulate it.
And isn't it interesting that, you know, what's the old saying? You're like the five people you hang around, right? And it's interesting how over time, the people who gravitate to that and want to live that way stick around, and those that don't. And again, just being conservative and, you know, tactical about the money, guys, there is no get rich quick in real estate. Would you agree?
There's no get rich quick in anything. I mean, some people luck into things, and you hear about a guy that just made this phenomenal, stupid trip into a great deal. But that happens. But mostly it's hard work and rolling up your sleeves and proper planning and getting the right return.
And it's time. Yeah. And here's the thing. People understand it in the stock market. They don't understand it as much in real estate and housing.
They understand the stock market, but they don't do it. The stock market starts going down, they sell because they panic.
Right.
And all the people that know what they're doing, buy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's really where this is now, is if rates go down in a year or two, home prices are going to go up. Wouldn't you rather own the home that you want now, and then if rates dropped, simply refinance? That's the big thing. But again, whether you or anybody has any questions, you need any help, happy to sit down for hours on end and do a budget and have these conversations. And again, I do believe we live in the greatest country on earth at the greatest time in history. We owe that greatness to a group of men and women who are still willing to take a bullet for you and I. And I know that's not the right way to say it, but there's less than 3% of our population in the U.S. who will ever serve in the military. Yet those 3% protect the lifestyle that you and I have, so we can pontificate on air, we can go out to the river, we can take trips, we can do stuff. And so I know we're coming up on a holiday, which is called what on Monday?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. And I think what I would love to see people do is realize that this is not a happy, glorious, amazing celebration. And you see all these memes that are, look, happy Memorial. No. Memorial Day.
It's about honoring.
We are honoring those men and women who have served and paid the ultimate price for us. So again, I want to enjoy the day off and have the honor and reverence for the people that have taken the ultimate price for you and I. So again, if you have family members who have served, thank you. If you have family members that have paid that price for all of us, thank you very much. There's nothing we can ever do to repay you. And enjoy the Memorial Day and celebrate those people who have served on our behalf. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.